Blog Talk Radio.
We live.
We're live.
Live from Chicago and Las Vegas. You're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One.
It's Page One.
With LeVar and Mary.
With LeVar and Mary.
What's going on, Page One Nation? You are tuned into another edition of Page One with LeVar and Mary for this Friday night, April 19th, 2024. I think before I even get started and I go a little bit more into the show tonight, I will tell you, well, you know what? I will let my wonderful friend Mary tell you what we're doing tonight. How are you?
I'm good. We are on Twitch, so hi, Twitch, everybody. Hi, everybody. We're live on Twitch as well.
Yes, hello to all of you over on the wonderful world of
Twitch.
So it's great seeing you. I'm not sure if Twitch heard that, but I feel like I have to kind of like either sing it or play it. But hopefully you heard it. But for all of you over on Twitch, wherever you're at tonight, thank you for tuning in. You know, I am always amazed at the feedback that we sometimes get from this show. Those of you who listen, those of you who were maybe struck by one additional thing that we talk about, we like to do that here every week. We're not like a set show. We don't talk about, if you're listening for the first time, or if you're listening for the 5th, or 10th, or the 100th, or maybe even the 200th, I think we pride ourselves on not being overly political. We're not political. I don't think we are. We're not that. We just kind of tell you news stories that you probably didn't know, or something that might touch you, or, but we try to have fun here too. So we're going to do a little bit of that tonight after our first story. The first story, I will warn you, it's a downer, but we've got a lot tonight. It is a potpourri night. So what I mean by that is that we don't have any set stories per se. We have a main story that we'll talk about coming up here in just a few minutes, but potpourri night, where it's a bunch of different stories that we will touch on. If we have a little bit of time left, we got some smoking gun files tonight. We'll take a look at what's trending. We've got all of that coming up here in a couple of minutes. And for those of you who are over here on Blog Talk Radio, and maybe even on Twitch, you'll hear the Retro Bubble of the Week, which is a rerun. I think I got all of that down, right?
Maybe? Question mark? You know we're going to forget something.
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping we don't. I even had, like, a LeVar file of a very interesting thing, and for an actor whose birthday was this week, that I read that it was it's coming up toward the bottom of the hour, but kind of interesting. Anyway, most interesting thing that I read this week, I am not sure if you are aware, and I think that it is fair to say that there are a lot of, and I say this lovingly, that there are a lot of math geeks out there.
I am one of them.
Yes. But did you know about the month of April that here in the month of April, there is a 10-day stretch of palindrome dates occurring in April? What does that mean? A palindrome is a word or a number sequence, in this case a date, that can be read the same way forward and backward. A universal palindrome reads the same whether written as month, day, year, as the United States does, or day, month, year, as many other countries do. The 10-day stretch begins this Saturday, April 20th, and continues through Monday, April 29th. So the palindrome dates this month are 4-2024, 4/21/24, 4/22/24, so on. The last 10-day stretch was in March of 2023. The next one will be in May of 2025, when there will be 11 palindrome dates, with 10 of those being consecutive, according to the Farmer's Almanac. Using the day, month, year format, even a leap day will get into the mix, according to timeanddate.com. There are 29 such dates this in this century, with the first being 10th of February 2021. The final palindrome date of the 21st century using this format will occur in 2092 on leap day, the 29th of February. They also said that the palindrome dates are supposed to be lucky because they are considered rare. So not sure if you knew that.
I thought I did. I mean, it happened, like you said, it happened last year. And I think it happened in February of 2022. A couple of days, too. But, yeah, that makes sense. I'm writing it down right now in chat to see how that worked. Yeah, it just worked. There you go.
All right.
It does work.
So did not know if you...
Twitch gets to see my new pillow, by the way.
Ah.
I finally got one of my Christmas gifts from a friend that we haven't had a chance to exchange gifts yet, and she gave me a swamp pillow. Do you know what a swamp is?
Right. I'm not sure if the... I'm not sure if the folks on Blog Talk Radio can hear, but I think you just got modulated over here.
Oh, I was talking about my swamp pillow.
I think something happened over on this end.
It's got to be.
Yeah. You can make it out a little bit. It almost sounds like the... it sounds like... not how. From 2001
Space Odyssey.
Something went, like, way modulated there, so I'm not sure what happened. But I can still make you out a little bit, but we'll see. Hopefully get that straightened out. But, so, yeah.
All right, so how am I on Twitch, guys?
No. Is it the Twitch folks?
I don't know. We'll keep going and we'll hope.
We could try. I know over this end it's like really modulated, but we'll see. We'll work through it. This is what we do. This is why it's live radio. This is what we love about it. So when we do it, hey, we throw it at the wall, it sticks, it works, it doesn't. But we'll work it out. So the almanac today is, as we said, April 19th. Tomorrow, for some odd reason, it seems like is in a cloud of smoke. because it is...
Bad joke.
Yeah,
I can hear myself being modulated.
Oh, now you hear it.
I hear the echo.
Yes. She's not... It's not that she has a cold. So, yes. But, no, tomorrow is 420 day. It is also Volunteer Recognition Day. Tomorrow is also National Record Store Day, which, God bless the record stores that remain. We need you, so definitely go out and support them. It's also... National Cheddar Fries Day, which I love a good cheddar. Some people could do it wrong.
Cheddar fries or just cheese fries in particular?
Yes. I'm going to say yes. I am hoping what I heard was something about cheese. I'm going to go with that. Yes, it I think, so no, that's tomorrow. Also, as you look down the calendar here on the 20th, it's National Auctioneers Day. It's also National Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day, National Lima Bean Respect Day. It's National Lookalike Day. And then on Sunday, it's National Rendering Day. And yes, we're talking about what you think it means. it is National Yellow Bat Day. Bat as in the animal, not a bat that you play sports with. National Chocolate Covered Cashews Day. National Kindergarten Day. The 22nd, it's two things happening on that day. It is Earth Day, as I see here on my calendar. And for our friends who are of the Jewish faith, Passover begins. So
that was very well done.
What?
Well done.
Oh, thank you. National Jelly Bean Day comes up on that day. It's National Girl Scout Leaders Day. It is school on Tuesday. It's School Bus Driver Appreciation Day. Hail to the bus driver man. if you remember The Simpsons. And then on Tuesday, it's National Lost Dog Awareness Day. It's National Cherry Cheesecake Day. It is National Picnic Day. And it's National Take a Chance Day. We're not saying the ABBA song.
I'm dancing to it in my head, though.
Yes, I'm sure you are. And then it's National Talk Like Shakespeare Day on the 23rd, if you remember it.
I will.
Just don't annoy your friends.
I won't.
Yes. And then the 24th, it's National Bucket List Day. Stop Food Waste Day. It's National Pigs on a Blanket Day.
Ooh.
National Administrative Professionals Day is on Wednesday. Then on the 25th, on Thursday, it's National DNA Day. National Hug a Plumber Day. National Teach Children to Save Day. It's National Zucchini Bread Day. Fourth Thursday in April brings us National Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day, which it originally was just Take Your Daughters to Work Day, but then it got extended out to Daughters and Sons. It's National Telephone Day. And then to give you a heads up for next week, next Friday, it's National Historic Marker Day, National South Dakota Day, Historic Marker Day, South Dakota Day, National Dissertation Day, National Help a Horse Day, it's National Hairball Awareness Day, and National Kids and Pets Day, National Richter Scale Day, Audubon Day, Arbor Day, and it is National Pretzel Day next week.
You will find love on Arbor Day.
Yes, as well as Audubon. So yes, so no, that's it's the almanac for this upcoming week. So no, that covers all of those things. But I kind of wanted to get tonight before we even got to like our other stories because I was I wanted to kind of get to a story that was kind of disturbing this week. I mean, it's not a story that generally we'll talk about on this show, but I think it kind of brings to mind exactly, I guess, the dangers of what could happen. And I don't know if it was from someone that was playing a prank, someone who was actually trying to extort money, but the dangers of things if used improperly. In this case, it was Uber because of someone who decided to do something, it resulted in the death of someone. Pretty much here this week, what has occurred is that, the story as it goes, it went to an 81-year-old man who pretty much has been charged with murder after allegedly shooting an Uber driver who thought she was picking up a package from the man's house. Both appear to have been victims of scam phone calls, and the Clark County Sheriff's Office said a news release that the Uber driver, Lolita Hall, was found shot multiple times near 81-year-old William Brock's South Charleston home on March 25th. Brock, who had called 911, had an injury to his head and ear and was bleeding when police arrived, according to a police report. Hall was taken to a hospital in Dayton where she died of her injuries. Pretty much what happened is that investigators discovered that Brock had earlier received a scam call about an incarcerated relative, which involved threats and demands for money. An unknown man told Brock over the phone he needed to pay $12,000 to get his nephew out of jail, according to a police report. Brock told police the caller threatened to kill him and his nephew if he didn't pay the ransom. The same caller and an accomplice later hired Hall using the Uber app to pick up a package for Brock's residence, according to investigators. Hall was not aware that Brock had been threatened. Ms. Hall, suffering from medical conditions and unarmed, made no threats or assaults toward Mr. Brock and made no demands other than to ask about the package she was sent to retrieve, according to the sheriff's police. He allegedly held Hall at gunpoint and demanded to know the identities of the people who had called him. He also took Hall's phone and refused to allow her to leave, officials said, adding that Brock did not try to call police at that point. When Hall tried to get back into her vehicle, Brock allegedly shot her, and there was a subsequent scuffle at the door of Ms. Hall's vehicle. Brock then allegedly shot her two more times before calling 911. Brock is charged with murder, which carries a penalty of 15 years to life in prison. Police are considering other charges. He's pled not guilty. Bail was set at $200,000. Officials are still searching for the scam callers. And the Clark County Sheriff's Office said pretty much that they want to take that opportunity to again remind residents, especially older citizens, that no law enforcement agency or court will make contact with anyone in that manner of the case to solicit cash for bail. And Uber on Wednesday said that it was in touch with law enforcement and committed to supporting the investigation, stated it was a horrific tragedy and their hearts continue to be with Lolita's loved ones as they grieve. And the suspect who ordered Hall's Uber trip has been banned from the app. Once again, the use of an app gone wrong, resulting in the death of someone. And it was heartbreaking watching the video as he's got a gun backing her up and she's calling out for help. And then he allegedly shoots her and she dies. I don't know where the fault on this will lie at the end of the day. Him for failing to call police and thought that he would take the matter to his own hands. Of course, I think that he deserves some type of punishment. I hope that whoever was responsible for the call is also charged with murder because their actions resulted in a murder. But how do you stop something like this, and where does the blame lie?
Yeah. If there was an easy answer to that, is what it comes down to. The easy answer is the way to stop it is for people to not be stupid. People are being trolls for attention, and negative attention is their way, is still attention, so they like it. He needs to be charged with something. He did end a person's life. Even if it was under duress and he felt that she was threatening him because he thought she was part of the people extorting him, there's still an element of she was backing away.
And although you don't want to let them go because they're extorting you, and, you know, part of you is like, no, I can't let this person go, because if I let them go, then who knows? But there's also that element of she's backing away. You don't get to injure, and I'm not going to even say, like, it could be any kind of injury. You don't get to injure somebody. You can't use force on someone if they are not threatening you directly, I guess is a good way of doing it. So he does need to be charged with something, some kind of manslaughter maybe, something that doesn't carry such a heavy toll as murder. The people who made the call, they need to pay somehow as well. And I know I said pay, but they have to have some kind of responsibility. So either get charged with, again, murder, manslaughter, some kind of thing. If they didn't think it was going to end up with, like, there was no intent to have it end up with any kind of bodily injury, then, you know, if they were just trying to see what, you know, how far they could push somebody, maybe it's a manslaughter charge. You know, it's very hard to prove intent when you don't know that it's going to go that far. But yeah, banning you from using Uber is not enough. That is not, and I'm sure that Uber is doing more than just that, but that's not enough. When I signed up, I had to give a name, I had to give an address, I had to give a phone number. And yes, all of those things can be faked, but not everybody's going to have the foresight to have all of that not be nearby. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. There should be some kind of punishment there. There should be some kind of charge there. And it's sad. It's very sad. It's, it's hard because we live in a digital age where people are buttheads. There's very nice people out there. There's people that are using apps and platforms the way they're supposed to be. And then there are people out there that are just dicks.
Yeah. And like I said, it was a tough story to watch and to see it happen as it unfolded. You felt for that woman because she's calling for help and there was no one that could help her. You have a man who's already confused thinking that someone's doing something to his family. I guess the only part where I disagree with you, I know you said manslaughter, but I was like, he didn't even call police. He didn't even, like, you know, you took her phone. You could clearly see the lady as she got out of the car. And there was nothing she could have done to him, you know.
Right.
And he took her phone, and he followed her back to the car, proceeded to get in a scuffle with her, and then shoots her.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not first-degree murder. First-degree murder is, there's different degrees of murder, so maybe it is still a murder charge, just a lesser degree, but it's not first-degree.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see where the law lands with that one. But I know for now, I think murder charges were pending. But, yeah, it's, you know, I wish cooler heads had prevailed, that he had thought about it. Because, like you say, you know, so many seniors get scammed, you know, every day. Not just here, worldwide. Where they are already confused and thinking that this is occurring. And yeah, I think for all these people who try to do these things and it results in things like this, those are ones that should get the heavier charges because of what they're doing. And I hope that they are able to track those people down and figure out who it was, because those are the people that need to be serving the longer sentences. So, I'm not sure if you had anything else to add.
No. I agree. I was waiting for you to... I agree with you. It's a tough one. That's why I'm glad that I don't have to... I'm not a police officer, so I don't have to make those calls. I'm not the prosecutor. I don't have to make those calls on what we're going to charge. You know? I'm glad I'm not those people.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I mean, it's a sad story all around. And like I said, you hope that justice is served. So I wanted to, before we get tonight to our retro moment of the week over here on Blog Talk Radio. So this week, I read a very interesting little bit of a story where I guess this week was the birthday of actor Anthony Michael Hall. And so he is famous for a lot of different movies. His birthday was on April 14th. He turned 56, I believe.
Wow.
He passed. The interesting thing about Anthony Michael Hall, he passed on starring in National Lampoon's European Vacation in 1985 so that he could be in Weird Science, which was also filmed that year. As a result, neither Russ Griswold nor his sister Audrey were ever played by the same actors from film to film until Dana Barron reprised her role of Audrey in Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Island Adventure in 2003. Writer-director John Hughes wasn't happy during filming of the movie because it interfered with another project that he cared about much, much more and resulted in his working a punishing schedule for months, but he agreed to direct it because Universal gave him a deal where he could also direct the more valued project if he started that one first. I'm going to tell you in a minute what the other project was. Anthony Hall would appear in that one, and after being the lead in that film and starring in other hit movies like National Lampoon's Vacation in 83, 16 Candles in 84. The movie that he was in also made the odd choice of joining the 85-86 cast of Saturday Night Live when he was only 17. He was the youngest cast member ever. Usually big stars don't even join ensemble cast roles like this, particularly one aimed at novices in the business like that one. After they had already starred in his own hit movie, it's usually considered a step down. He didn't stay for the entire season on SNL. Neither did his Weird Science co-star, Robert Downey Jr. But what was the movie, the one that writer John Hughes wanted to do more than the other movie? Look back to 1985. It was The Breakfast Club.
I knew it. I said it.
So there is something out of your LeVar files for this week. So here's the thing. Normally at this time, we will do for you Retro Moment of the Week. For those of you who are over on Twitch, I don't know if you'll hear it. You probably will. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio definitely will hear it. So what we're going to do is we are going to do a couple of them, and then it gives us a little bit of a short break. We will return, and when we come back, we will have potpourri. We'll take a look at what's trending, and we will also have something smoking gun files. So stick around. So thanks that you're with us here tonight on page one for this Friday night, April 19th. We will be back in just a moment.
Welcome to the world of Transworld Airlines.
Next time you go to California, go to a good movie too on TWA. Color movies by In-Flight Motion Pictures are shown brighter and clearer than ever on our new widescreen. There are 8 more channels of music, too. TWA Starstream Theater. The last word in entertainment at the top.
Welcome to the world of Transworld.
I'm Woodsy Owl, and I'm here to tell you about a dirty word, pollution.
Help Woodsy spread the word. Never be a dirty bird.
Hoo-hoo. Don't paint or write off buildings. That's pollution.
Give a hoot. Don't pollute. Never be a dirty bird.
Hoo-hoo.
Turn your radio down. That's noise pollution.
In the city or in the woods, help keep America looking good.
You're listening to Page One.
Page One
with LeVar and Mary, your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Welcome back to Page One on this Friday night, as you are joining us, not only if you're listening to us over on Blog Talk Radio, and I think you could also listen to us live no matter where you could get your podcast at, but we are also tonight over on Twitch, where you can go over to Lou Eyes Mama, and you can they see you tonight over on Twitch?
They can see me. I have my pillow, and they can see me in the corner, and they have the chat, and yeah. Yay, Twitch.
And hello to all of you who are listening tonight. If you're over on Blog Talk Radio, don't adjust your your set. I think Mary had herself a Sanka and a...
Sanka and a coffee and a cigarette.
And a Virginia Slim. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
I have no idea. We can kind of make you out. You can make her out over there as well. I don't know what happened. I have no idea. I'm not gonna. It's technology. Anyway,
Twitch, you can hear me just fine.
I digress. So Potpourri usually brings us a lot of different stories, a lot of different things going on. Because they don't fit really in what we are talking about or any, like, one particular thing. An interesting thing, as we said, tomorrow it is 420. Nothing special on this end, but for some people it really is. But in celebration of Marijuana's unofficial holiday on Saturday, I have to do that as Hank Hill. I feel like I had to. It's your... You kids and your marijuana. Jimmy John's, the sandwich operation here, is offering a, quote, deliciously dope dime bag promotion for $10 tomorrow. According to the Submarine Sandwich restaurant chain, the promotion comes with everything someone needs to celebrate on Saturday, including a hand-sliced smoked ham and provolone cheese sandwich, topped with jalapeno ranch, extra oregano, basil, sliced pickles, crispy jalapenos, and fresh sliced lettuce and tomato, alongside a Jimmy John's pickle spear, a fudge chocolate brownie, and a serving of Jimmy chips. The deliciously dope dime bag will be available for online order only at participating restaurants nationwide for $10 with the use of the promo code dime bag.
I'm shaking my head.
Well,
ridiculous.
Blame Jimmy John's. I told Mary that there's certain movies that you cannot remake, especially now in this day and age. It just wouldn't do. And you could probably think of your own, and if you want to chime in, and if you want to, like, tell us which movies that you don't think could be remade, definitely let us know over on the chat here on Twitch. But there is a remake that's happening, and I don't know how I feel about it. Pamela Anderson is dressing up for Naked Gun. The actor has signed off. Huh?
Sorry, keep going. I said, oh, no.
Oh, this gets better. The actor has signed on to star opposite Liam Neeson in Paramount Pictures' untitled remake of Naked Gun based on the crime spoof comedies that were released in the late 80s and early 90s. Akiva Schaffer is directing the comedy, which has a script by Dan Gregor, Doug Mond, and Schaffer. The trio were behind the popular and Emmy-winning Disney Plus movie Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Of course, the original movie, written and directed by Jerry Zucker, Jim Abrams, and David Zucker, and based on their television series Police Squad that lasted only 6 episodes, spoofed tropes of police shows and films that have ingrained themselves into audiences' mind over the decades. It's centered on an inept and clueless detective named Frank Drebin, played by Leslie Nielsen, who still somehow managed to solve the crime and save the day. Plot details are being locked away with other police files, but it is known that Liam Neeson will be playing Frank Drebin. Anderson will be the love interest, akin to the role played by, in the original by Priscilla Presley, with a mix of sexiness and goofiness. Seth MacFarlane and Erica Huggins are producing via their company, Fuzzy Door. Schaffer is executive producing, and Paramount has penciled a July 18th, 2025 release for the feature.
Happy birthday, kiddo. Like, what the heck?
Yes. Happy birthday. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't. Only Leslie Nielsen could play Frank Drebin in my eyes. And I mean, I know Liam Neeson's a funny guy. And if you saw what he did in Ted, which is even more funnier, being it was so deadpan,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't. I can't. I don't know if this is going to drag me back and want to go see that.
It's not going to for me. No. We're just going to go with no.
Yes. That makes me wonder who's going to play the OJ part.
LeBron James.
Oh, man. I don't know. There's certain things that you just don't do. That's one of them. You can't remake it. Like I said, there's certain, like, it's like, I know they tried Star Trek and failed miserably in a way. Because it's like,
mm-hmm.
when you think Captain Kirk, you think Bill Shatner. Nobody else can come in and play that.
Right.
So.
Like they tried to reboot it. Yeah. Retcon.
Yes.
I said Police Academy.
That was on TV the other day. Love
can't
it.
Remake that. Can't remake
no.
that. You can't no. remake Blazing Saddles, any of the Mel Brooks ones, Blazing Saddles, Spaceballs, anything by Mel Brooks.
I even said you can't remake Airplane.
No. You know, you can't make any of the Monty Pythons either. Like
nope.
Monty Python and Holy Grail. The humor doesn't translate.
We can hear you. You're clear.
You can hear me.
You're clear.
Look at that. I've been clear on Twitch the entire time. So the Twitch people, they got the 100% top-notch 5-star me.
They're probably now over on Twitch now. It's sounding like it was over here. It just switched over.
Yeah.
That's all that happened. Oh,
yeah.
I wonder what happened. That's odd.
I don't know.
That's so strange.
Considering I haven't touched anything, I'm sitting here just holding my pillow, my thwomp pillow.
thank you for finishing that sentence. because we like to poke the bear and always make fun of our favorite person here, something kind of came out this week, and I had to look at this twice. I hope it's not true, but a big
Florida
part...
man.
No. a big part of what has led to social media platform Twitter or X's current popularity is the lack of fees for signing up. The public square role the platform has often claimed only works if the public can actually access it. But that's been significantly changed since Elon Musk's 2022 acquisition of the platform for $44 billion, including with Musk revoking the previous Meta earned verification status for many media members and extending verified blue checks to anyone willing to pay him monthly. And now he has indicated pretty much that anyone who wants to use Twitter or anyone new who wants to use Twitter in terms of posting, liking, marketing, or replying to tweets will have to pay him for that privilege even if they sign up with a basic account. I kid you not. Musk has long complained about, quote, bots on Twitter, and even cited perceived numbers of bot accounts. Hold on just a second while we're doing this live. Unfortunately, my eye pretty much is now bothering me, and I can't really see. But okay, I got it. But bot accounts are trying to get out of his initial and accepted part here, but pretty much what was happening is that he has stated that he cites bots as a rationale for his much criticized shift in verification from, you know, a lot of the power celebrities and media accounts to anyone willing to pay him monthly, although he did still pay for some celebrities' accounts. And it's interesting to see how all the new users having to pay potentially to use Twitter and to how that's going to help with the bot situation. But of course, there have been many Musk pronouncements on the future of Twitter that have not actually led to anything notable. It's not clear on how those plans to implement fees for new users will work and just what those fees will be. But it is definitely interesting to see that he's weighing in on this and to see him attempt to pretty much defend it as an anti-bot measure. But I guess, first of all, what do you think of the potential of new X users having to maybe pay something? And two, does something like this start to set the death knell in motion for Twitter as you know it?
That was just going to be my question. Is he trying to kill Twitter? Because, I mean, he's doing a heck of a job if he is. And just for anybody out there, I have an account that I barely use, so you could probably take it over, switch it over, and nobody probably noticed. You won't have to pay for it. You can have it. Just let me know so I can sign it over to you for a small fee. It's just very, who advises this man? Because he needs better friends. Okay? Like, he needs better people.
Well, his problem is, it looks like on some days that he likes people to, like I said, I'm not going to take away from what he has done. He has come up with, you know, I mean, as a person, I give him credit in some ways, not all of it, for Tesla. It's successful. But I think this is one in which it's a failure, and he's going to pretty much go down with the ship on saying, you know, what he thinks is going to help this. It's almost like I felt like in the beginning, I was like, he's got to be, like, you know, deliberately making this bad so that he could get out of owning it. And
right.
I was like, but then I'm like, but why would he do that? Because you would devalue the company, and you would lose what you put into it. So I don't know what the end game is. I just don't think that social media is like his forte. You know, go back to like trying to build rocket ships and cars, because you got a lot of issues with Tesla right now. So I don't think social media, in my opinion, is his forte. So Twitter, even though it had some potential issues, it wasn't as bad. And I'm going to tell you this now. As a person, because, yes, our page is still over on Twitter. But the issue that I'm seeing which makes it even more disturbing, is that the ads, or quote-unquote ads that run throughout Twitter, are from people with extreme right viewpoints. And when you try to, quote, close it out and say, I don't want to see this ad, it will tell you that in order to not see those ads, you have to pay a fee, which is very disturbing, because it's kind of almost like trying to push an agenda down people's throats. It's the same ad that will pop up every few seconds of scrolling. Even on Facebook, you don't get anything like that. And the algorithm is way off from what people are. It's kind of like if you have a particular point of view, an extreme opposite will show up on your timeline. But yet they will tell you that they know from an algorithm what, you know, the things that you like or follow is what you'll see. Not even true. I will tell you that right now. And if I was sitting in a meeting with Elon Musk myself, I would tell you, sir, your algorithm is way off, and I can smell what you're trying to push out there, and it's not even true. Because from what I see all the time that I'm on there, it is crap.
Well, and that's the part, that's the reason why I have a Twitter account, X account, whatever. I haven't logged into it since Elon took it over, even once. Because I don't need opinions like that pushed on me. I'll seek out my own information and make my own opinions. Thank you. You want to advertise, that's fine, but as soon as I see that your advertisements are exactly the same the entire time and I don't get the opposite view, and it doesn't even have to be far any direction. It can be macaroni and cheese is the best food in the world. If I don't ever see another ad saying macaroni and cheese is the worst food in the world, then I know that you are a macaroni and cheese kind of place, and if I'm not a macaroni and cheese kind of person, I'm not going to stay. You're driving half of your people away just with that. You're driving the other half of the people away by making them pay for it. So not only are they your people, but now you're making them pay you. That's
according to this, it would be all new users, but I'm like, at that point, you know,
who's new to Twitter at this point?
Right. If you don't get a number of new users, are you going to pass that cost off to the old users?
Right.
You know, I know things are business, but at the end of the day, if ego is what drives this, the thing is that his ineptitude at running a social media company is showing, because Facebook doesn't charge for new users. Meta does it. Snapchat does it. TikTok does it.
Instagram.
Well, that's Instagram and Facebook are pretty much owned by Meta. So,
right.
But, you know, they don't charge for it. So why do you feel like you need to? It's a money grab, and you're using it as that, but you're killing your product each and every day. The only reason, and I know people are going to be like, well, you're on Twitter. The reason we maintain a Twitter page is because of our follower base, and we have the most of our followers through there. It's a way for us to get our message out. There's other things that have kind of happened that I question at times and I'm keeping my eye on.
yes.
So, but we are still there just for the sake of advertising this show. Trust me, if I could go to somewhere else, I probably would. We do have an Instagram page, which I guess I could go back to and we could kind of start doing more things Instagram based. But yeah, it's like, I love X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it now, but to see it go the way it's been over the last year, it hurts, because you can see the writing on the wall from things that continue to happen. But it's a shame. It really is. But I digress. Continuing on the potpourri train that is, an interesting story here. A mother of two took a social media break after coming under fire for her unusual request for her daughter's first birthday. Guests should pony up $5 apiece for renovations to her backyard. This peculiar stunt called a Fiverr birthday party recently went viral online thanks to Houston TikToker Rachel Gibbs. She said, "I specifically, very clearly, put on the invitations, please do not bring gifts. And then I said, if you feel inclined to bring something, consider $5 because we're trying to remodel, redo our yard. Our backyard is a train wreck," she continued. "Bring us $5 to help us redo our backyard. That's what we're asking, but she does not need anything." On TikTok, Gibbs also slammed the concept of lavishly doling out, quote, $3,000 on a first birthday party for a toddler who won't remember it at all. She promised nice decorations and a fun time, but not at those costs. "I'm not going to rent out a venue. I'm not going to do all those things," continued Gibbs, who has a bachelor's degree in events management. "It's her first birthday party. We really just want the people who love her here." Her declarations drew mixed responses. "Never host a party and ask for money," one TikToker exclaimed. "I don't agree with using a birthday for a home project," added another. However, some users were on board with Gibbs' wishful thinking. "I had never heard of a $5 party, but I instantly love it," praised one supporter. "I'd much rather bring $5 than a random thing you may not want or need," a fellow user penned. All the while, Gibbs held her ground, even claiming that she had a Pinterest board going for her this party since before she had her daughter. "$5 parties are really fun. They've been around for a long time, and they're really low-pressure, low-key," she said. "Don't even buy a card. Just put $5 in an envelope." She told People Magazine that, in the end, four people bought cash for a total of $50, so I'd say it was a success. agree or disagree with the fact of having a Fiverr party?
Kind of both. The Fiverr party doesn't bother me. Like, hey, bring $5, that's it, and this is what we're doing, is fine. Like, that's fine. My issue is that it's for her first, it's for her daughter or her kid's first birthday. So, if that's the case, and my kiddo's first birthday, we did rent out a hall, but that was because a lot of people wanted to come. And I told a lot of the people that were there for her first birthday, buy her, you know, if you're going to buy her anything, put the money into a savings bond or a savings account, or give us cash. We'll put it into her savings account, however you'd like to do it. And that money sat there. And I'm okay with that. If she would have said, we're not doing a lot of stuff, it's a Fiverr birthday party, you know, it's going to be a good time, cheap decorations, we're not renting out a hall, she's not going to remember it anyway, put $5 in an envelope and we'll stick it in her savings account. Down. Thumbs up. That's the best thing ever. If you're going to do a Fiverr birthday party so that you can fund fixing your backyard, or not birthday party, if you're doing a Fiverr party to fix your backyard, then do a Fiverr party for fixing your backyard, not for your kid's birthday. Like, it's the mixture of the two that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't, like, having them is a completely separate thing. You either celebrate what you're celebrating, and that's what that goes to, or you do, if your money is going to go to something else, then you celebrate that other something else. Keep them separate.
Right.
Renovating your backyard is not your daughter or your kid's first birthday. Whether they remember it or not. And honestly, it doesn't matter if they remember it, because people have phones. They take video. There's going to be pictures.
this is going to be something that they're going to hear about. My kiddo hears about it. And that was before video phone, you know, videos on phones. So keep it separate.
Yeah, keep it separate. You know what I have a problem with, though? And I think we've said it on this show before. And I know you disagree with me on it. I have a problem with people who do multiple graduation parties for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And as a PSA here, as we're going into graduation season, parents, unless your child is graduating from eighth grade, high school, or college, I don't want to see, I don't want to hear about little Julia's kindergarten graduation. I don't care about a preschool graduation. I don't care about a fifth grade graduation. Unless they're graduating one of those three things. And even then, eighth grade is iffy. But I get it. Unless it's one of those major stair-step graduations, save it. So many people waste so much money each year. Kindergarten, what do you, congratulations, you know? You learned your ABCs. It's not perfect.
Ouch.
Come back to me when you've done something special.
Ouch. That's awful.
Whoa.
That was awful. No, like, whoa. I don't think that they should have a graduation for every year, but kindergarten, okay.
Whoa.
You don't have to have a party.
That's not impressive.
You don't have to have a party, and you don't get to have a graduation gift. But if you want to go and celebrate, be like, hey, everybody, they're throwing a little thing at the school where they get to walk across the stage and pretend to be like big boys and girls, because they are now. That's on their parents. They should learn that before they get to school. F-O-X.
Can't even paint or color between the lines. What do you want?
Again, also the parents' problem.
No multiplication tables at that point. You know, 1 + 1.
I've never heard of a fifth grade graduation. God, I'm glad I missed that.
Some people do it for that. They do it for kindergarten, preschool, kindergarten, fifth grade, eighth grade, high school. I'm surprised they don't do it for the kids that go from freshman to sophomore to junior to senior. I mean, it's just like, I don't want to see all of that. If it's not those three things that I just mentioned, it means nothing.
You know what, though? I will say, I did have somebody that called their kid a preschool dropout. That was kind of funny.
Oh, man. It's brutal, man. I was like, it's too much. Way too much. Anyway. We've got a little bit more coming up with what's trending. But I wanted to get to things that are not, sorry, what's trending, but potpourri. But I wanted to get to what's trending tonight. It is Friday night. SmackDown is trending. Also trending tonight, the NBA is trending. And so the first game is done, and unfortunately for those of us here in Chicago, even with Miami Heat star Jimmy Butler out tonight, the Chicago Bulls could not get it done. They lost to the Miami Heat 112-91. So it is the Miami Heat who will go on to be swept by the Boston Celtics in the first round.
I'm glad that we've got that settled.
Yeah. Not that we're bitter or anything.
We're not rooting for any specific team on this channel. Ugh, go Bulls.
Not that bitter. Also trending, actually Taylor Swift was trending. Well, today, because Taylor Swift came out with her new album. I'm surprised she didn't wait until the 13th of the month. I'm shocked she didn't.
Right.
But she came out with her double out. Here's the thing about those. I think it happened at like 2 a.m. when she dropped
something
that album.
Poet. It's the poet something or other.
Yeah. When I woke up this morning, I thought it was trending. And I kind of am in agreement with, because I think someone else came out with an album today too, but I'm kind of in agreement with Questlove of the Roots. If a new album comes out, do us all a favor. Listen to the entire thing first before you start tweeting about every song after the song plays on your playlist. We don't need to hear. It's kind of like somebody who gets a book and reads the first few pages and then wants to tell you about it, but they haven't read the rest of the book. It's like people feel the need to be first and come online and tell you their opinion. And like everybody's a music critic and they want to like ruin it for everybody else that hasn't had a chance to like hear it yet. Or people are like, I'm up at 2 a.m. I'm going to listen to the entire thing for the rest of the night. And those are probably the people who are tired at work this morning or tired at school. And
You're funny. They're not old enough to work.
Or for those kids who ask Mommy and Daddy if they could stay home today because they want to listen to the new CD because it's like it's a lot to take in. You know, it's just everyone feels the need to be first. And I'm like, just listen. Back in the day, it was New Music Tuesday. It wasn't no, you know, we knew it was coming out on Tuesday. It wasn't no surprise drops at 2 a.m. Nothing wrong with it. That's how the industry changes. But people listen to it. And like later on, like maybe a few days later, you'd be like, hey, did you hear the new such and such album? Yeah. What'd you think about it? Oh, I love this song and this song. Social media has kind of ruined a lot of things now. And people feel the need that as soon as it comes out, like within the first hour, I guarantee you, and Quest was right about this, albums can drop at 2 a.m. And at 2:01, somebody can claim that they listened to the entire album and give you a review. It's like there's no way that you could have heard all of those songs and a minute to put a valid review and or post out about that album. And as you said...
Oh, no, you were wrong. It was not 2:01. It was 2 a.m. and 30 seconds.
Right.
No, it really is. There's a lot of... I mean, with games, at least, like when people release like video games and that, the people that are like automatically, they're already on Twitch streaming, they're already got YouTube videos up, they received a copy before, like I don't want to call it a pre-sale copy, but a preview copy of the game, so that they can do that because that's what they're doing. And then they'll play it and they'll have it ready to go. And it's immediate, you know, they'll have YouTube videos out the day it drops. But those people have to sign like NDAs and that kind of thing until the game drops. I don't know that they do that with music.
I don't know.
And if they do, then maybe they do. Maybe those people are... they get the preview and they've been sitting on it for, you know, 2-3 days and they're just waiting for it to drop so they can give their opinion. It's a possibility, but I don't know how music does that.
But a lot of these people out here are like you and I, where they just got it. And in order to get likes or followers, they go ahead and they, you know, will hashtag anything about that album, knowing full well they didn't even listen to all of it yet, and they heard probably a few snippets of it, and they want to be the first so that people will follow. It's almost like pretty much just putting like some type of trap out there so that you know people are going to follow you. I hate that. I can't stand that when people do that, but unfortunately, it's what we have to live with. So, yeah, just wait. Just listen to the whole thing, man. I don't want to go in there and be like, hey, new Taylor Swift album, hashtag Taylor Swift, blah, blah, blah. And then you go, and it's like something entirely different. You know, when you do that, you're not cool. So listen to it. Enjoy it. You know? I give Taylor credit, man. Right after, you know, her other album, she's cranking out, like, another one. And, you know, enjoy it while it is, man, because there's going to be a day where Taylor's going to be like, you know what, I'm tired. I'm just going to wait a couple of years, then let you guys miss me, and then I'll come back. But this is the height of Swifter, man. I love it. You know, I will actually say I'm a fan. Do I listen to all of the songs? No. But, you know, she has a lot of haters out there, just like Beyonce has haters. And this is the thing about it, which I love, and this is kind of, you know, going off the beaten path here for a bit. But Beyonce's album was not geared, quote, towards haters. I find it funny that as soon as she came out with something that was lined with country, how country music automatically put up the front gates and said, this isn't country. We don't want to hear it in our country music. And it was made because of the hate that she had received at a country music awards show. And so she said, you know what? I'm going to come out with a country theme album. Got the biggest names in country music, Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton, remade Jolene, and all of her songs topped Apple's list and the Billboard list. And you know what's about to probably happen? I'm calling it now. Normally at the end of the year, we do our predictions. I'm actually calling this now in the month of April. I guarantee you her song Texas Hold'em is probably going to win Song of the Year next year for some odd reason. As much as people don't like it, they hate it, it's a catchy song, it's Beyonce, and it's going to get nominated. As much
you
as you
do
don't
understand
like
why
it.
It's catchy, though. It probably
I
don't.
I mean, I have my reasons for why it is, but...
well, no, I'm saying I don't know that it won't, because there is a lawsuit that is pending about it, because it's Franklin. It's a kids' TV show theme song.
Franklin?
Yeah, I want to say Franklin. I could be wrong. Yeah, Franklin the Turtle, yeah.
Not Franklin from Charlie Brown. Franklin the Turtle.
No. Franklin the Turtle, yeah. No, I think it's the same base, like the underlying architecture is the same. So they're calling a copyright on it.
She'll throw some money at it. They'll go away quietly in the night, and we move on. Why? Because it's Beyonce and she can do that.
Throw my hands up. I'm just saying, whoop.
Yep.
Yes, a kid show. Isn't it a Canadian kid show? I'm sorry, we have someone in chat, so I think it's a Canadian kid show.
Isn't it?
Or is it a Universal kid show and I missed it because I didn't watch that one.
I think the only one that drove me nuts that to this day I couldn't stand was Caillou.
Thank you. You didn't like Caillou and his bald head?
Man, I hated Caillou. I wish somebody would have stuffed Caillou in the bucket.
Kid shows I watched are not kid shows that people watch anymore. Trying to think of back what I watched. I watched the Saturday cartoons.
It's just like Arthur. I'm so glad that day when he got mad and he like wailing off on DW. Yeah. He messed up all the stuff.
There's a lot of kid shows out there. Bernstein Bears.
See, and we used to always call it the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, Berenstain, yeah. I don't remember watching any of those, really, honestly. When I start remembering cartoons, it's Gummy Bears, She-Ra, He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Saturday cartoons.
Yes.
Is when I start remembering what cartoons I watched. Rainbow Bright, Strawberry Shortcake.
If you want to hear a funny story.
Gem and the Holograms.
One of the things is growing up, my brother works in the automotive industry. We used to get up on Saturday mornings, and I wanted to watch cartoons. And my brother loved cars, still does. He played with his Hot Wheels, used to take my Hot Wheels. But my brother, on Saturday mornings, used to want to watch Motor Week.
Why?
Are you familiar with the show?
Yes.
And that,
why?
That was where they used to always like do the test drive on the vehicles. They'd have like the mechanics corner. And
yeah,
I kid
it was
you not.
The Blue Book on TV.
Yes, and I kid you not. This past weekend, I got up early, and it was Saturday morning, and on MAV TV, do you know what was on?
Shut up.
Motor Week. Motor Week with John Davis, still is the host, 43 years running. It has been on TV. It is still on, but it's on exclusively on MAV TV. So Motor Week is still on the air. I forgot to call my brother and talk to him about it because I was like, hey, man. It's still on. You can watch it on Saturday morning again.
By the way, you have somebody else that shares your opinion about Caillou.
Thank you. I knew I wasn't alone. Especially that theme song.
That theme song. Have you ever watched Ni Hao Kai Lan? There you go.
Nope. I was just waiting for somebody like, you know, just... tell Caillou to stuff it. Yeah.
Oh, that's rough, dude.
That kid was annoying, man. I know.
We're way off track.
Yes, I know. I'm attacking kindergarten graduates, and I'm attacking Caillou.
I know. We are way off track. Somebody is not going to heaven, and it's not me. I'm going.
I am. Jesus doesn't like Caillou.
Oh, I didn't like Caillou either. I'm going to say something very controversial. I thought he reminded me of like a cancer kid.
Oh, no.
I had no sympathy at that point. It's like, yeah, whatever. Just stop. Go away.
Caillou's going to ask you for money.
Right. I was waiting for the St. Jude commercial to come on afterwards.
No.
Okay, so I'm not going to heaven. But that's just because, okay?
I think with this show, I think we've done it plenty of times before where we've already proven where we've done that. Oh, man. Yeah,
yes,
I know.
Maya Caillou was very whiny. Very whiny.
Yep. No, sorry. No, sorry, not sorry, man. I mean, that's how
sorry,
it was.
No.
Caillou.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Where did we start this conversation?
Well, we were talking about... yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We went from there to Motor Week back to Caillou. Yeah. I'm going to get back on track with the rest of Potpourri, and I will tell you that there was a study out, and while stuffed animals might be more geared towards children, a recent survey has shown that 43% of grownups admitted to still owning soft toys from when they were kids. Often associated with childhood, the phenomenon of adults bonding with plush toys has garnered increased attention in recent years. The intriguing aspect of human behavior raises thought-provoking questions about attachment, comfort, and the inner workings of the human psyche. Here's what psychology has to say about adults with stuffed toys. Psychology see nothing wrong with adults owning them. Research indicates that adults who possess childhood stuffed animals frequently experience comfort and reassurance from it. During childhood, teddy bears, stuffed toys, and weighted blankets act as transitional objects to help when a child transitions from dependence to independence. If you're an adult with an attachment to soft toys and plush animals, know that you're not alone. Around 4 in 10 adults still sleep with a stuffed animal from their childhood, with a large percentage coming from the millennial age group. In fact, out of the 43% of the 2,000 respondents, 84% of men own at least one stuffed animal compared to the 77% of women who still keep them in bed. They said that there are 8 benefits of stuffed animals for adults. 1 was to find comfort. 2, to sleep better. 3 was to improve mental health, as they say that stuffed animals help improve one's mental health. Psychologists agree. Another one was to ease loneliness, as teddy bears have been linked with easing loneliness in kids, which could carry over to adulthood. To have security, to help heal from trauma, to remind them of childhood, and to reduce stress. As for a stigma on owning a stuffed animal, it depends. As a full-grown adult, you may be worried about the stigma surrounding your attachment to plush toys. Some people own them as a coping mechanism to help relieve stress. And, yeah. So approximately 1 in 5 adults, over 20%, experience anxiety, which often leads to sleep-related issues such as insomnia. So they say that perhaps owning that or having one will help you with that.
I am holding on to a stuffed animal. Well, not animal. It's a swamp. It's a pillow. I have stuffed animals around me. I can actually reach and grab one right now. I don't have them in my bed. That's one thing I don't have. They're in my game room with the rest of my toys, and I have many. I have stuffed animals in my office at work.
Hmm.
Yep, I've got 3 in my office at work, and I do still have Theodore Bear from when I was 3, and his hand is crooked from where I held onto it and drug it around. So, yeah, I still have him in my possession right now. I could go grab him if I needed to.
I still have somewhere in my house the teddy bear from when I was a small lad, about 2 or 3. It was a popular like plush dog at the time in the late 70s, and I wish I knew the name of it because I saw it on TV on a show from the 70s, and my brother and I each had one. And the funny thing was that it had a tag that it had, but it wore away. And mine has a little burn on the bottom of its foot because one day my dad was pretending to light it with a lighter. And I put the foot too close to the lighter, and it actually singed the bottom of his foot.
back when stuffed animals were still made of asbestos.
Right, right. but I still have it somewhere. And it's been through rain, through water, through a lot of different stuff, but it is maintained and it's still with me. So yeah, I believe that. I'm not going to say you're bad for it, even for no one to have a teddy bear. Hey, if it helps reduce stress and anxiety, I'm all for it. So.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I have noticed that at least for when we're doing the podcast here on Twitch, I feel much more comfortable by having something like a stuffed animal, or, you know, like I have, this is a character pillow, but something to hold on to so that I have not necessarily the weight, but something for my, to combat anxiety. Not that talking with you is makes me anxious or anything, but there is a level of anxiety knowing that people are listening to us talk and can actually see me.
I was going to say, are you saying this show stresses you out?
Yes, 100%. 100, no, I'm just kidding. The show doesn't, it's being able to be seen. That is, you know, when I could talk, I could be like, when we're just on air and there's no video, it's like, oh yeah, you know, I can make faces at you and nobody's going to notice. If I do that on Twitch, you'll see it. But that, I'm an anxious person, so that's it. But no, even at work, my stuffed animals at work have been, like, I've offered them up, obviously, to anyone. It's like they come into the office, they're like, oh, my God, is that a... I have a Cinnabunny, so it's a rabbit that looks like a cinnamon roll. And I'm like, yeah.
Squishmallows?
I do. Not at work. We have a couple here at the house.
I did a bad thing yesterday.
I did a bad, bad thing. This sounds like a song.
I did a bad, bad thing.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, that's probably going to get, like, blocked out on Twitch.
Clip that.
But no, my little sister who had a birthday this past week, happy belated birthday. Not sure if she's listening. I hope she's not, because I know she's getting ready for her birthday weekend festivities. But she is a big Harry Potter fan. Mm-hmm. And they recently came out with Harry Potter Squishmallows.
Okay.
So I sent the set of four to her house. So sometime within the next few days, she's going to be receiving that box. She's probably going to be very mad. Yes. She's probably going to get very mad at me. But...
Do you know which house she belongs to?
I'm going to say Gryffindor, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Because that's the only one I know.
Whichever one Harry Potter is a part of.
Gryffindor, okay.
So, I was going to say her house.
Right?
So, yes. So she'll be getting that here shortly. So I think it came with Harry, Ron, Hermione, and the eagle. I forgot the name of the eagle. The owl.
Hedwig.
There we go. Thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't read the books or anything.
It's Hedwig. Oh, yes. No, not to all you Harry Potter fans. Yes. I've never seen it. Never watched any of it. Well, I've seen a few minutes of one on TV once when I was flipping channels. I've never read the books nor seen the movie. So, and I know it's going to get an audible gasp from everyone on Twitch, but no, I have not seen it.
By the way, he's a Hufflepuff. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's fine. Going back to those stuffed animals, they've been used at work as part of, like, I have specialized training in suicide awareness and intervention, and so I've kind of made my office into a safe spot for anybody. So there's been a couple of times when people have come into my office and been like, I just need a minute. Like, they've been stressed, or somebody just passed away, or there's a couple of different things that happen, and they come in and I'm like, if you need to hug up on the Cinnabunny, go for it. If you need to go see Hello Kitty, go ahead. There's a blanket over here if you need something for your legs, tissues, the whole bit. So I agree. Stuffed animals, stuffed anything, squishy things that are fuzzy do help. I think I do. And he does seem like a Hufflepuff. I agree. I really do think that you are a Hufflepuff. I'm a Ravenclaw.
I don't know what that is, but...
if we had to put you in a house, we believe that you would be a Hufflepuff. We've agreed.
A Snuffleupagus? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's not Snuffleupagus. Big Bird would be... Big Bird would be proud.
The house of Big Bird.
No, that would be Ravenclaw.
Yeah. I forgot what did Snuffy sound like. I think Snuffy sounded like somebody who had like a throat issue while at the same time his voice was, I think it was like, I'm Snuffleupagus, I guess. You know, it was like that. So it's the best I could do. Sorry.
Bad. Moving on.
This is why this show is entertaining. You get a little bit of everything. So the good folks at Ashley Madison, who we adore because they always come out with very adult type surveys. According to this, admitted adulterers are more loyal to their cell phone providers and real estate agent than their spouses, according to an online dating service, Ashley Madison, which caters to married people and uses the slogan, life is short, have an affair. They conducted a survey to determine how faithful members are outside the bedroom, and the results show that adulterers can be loyal in other aspects of life. The site's members were given a list of more than 20 categories and asked whether they were more likely to cheat on the items listed or their partner. The shocking study found that 87% of members would rather cheat on their partner than cheat on their taxes, and 90% of all adulterers surveyed said that they would rather cheat on their partner than on a job application or a test. They appear to be loyal customers, too. A staggering 89% of members would rather cheat on their partner than on their real estate agent or their banking institution, while 83% would rather cheat on their partner than their phone provider. Of the surveyed, 82% would cheat on their partner before their favorite takeout restaurant, 85% are more loyal to their preferred gym than their partners, and 90% would find a new sexual partner before finding a new personal trainer. When it comes to hairstylists and barbers, 82% of Ashley members said that they cheat on their partner before letting someone new cut their hair. The members also said that they're 85% more likely to cheat on their partner than change their regular coffee order. The Ashley Madison adulterers are also loyal to political parties, with 86% saying that they cheat on their partner before voting with the other side. There were also 81% more likely to cheat on their partner than their favorite car manufacturer, and 84% more likely to have an affair than ditch their preferred music streaming service. Ashley Madison Chief Strategy Officer Paul Knievel said that many Ashley Madison members answer such questions because, quote, they don't have anyone they can discuss their extracurricular activities with, and therefore, quote, are very eager to discuss their affairs through anonymous channels as a form of catharsis. He also feels that monogamy will not live up to expectations for many Americans, but that doesn't mean they're disloyal in all walks of life. Once a cheater, always a cheater is an antiquated assumption. For some of our members, infidelity will become a regular activity that they incorporate into their wellness regime. For others, it will be a one-time act, a scratch that once itch goes away. Are you shocked, though, that...
Okay, I will say I did stop. I did do the finger. I did do the finger for the hairdresser. Because once you find a good hairstylist or barber, it is very hard to find somebody else that does your hair the right way. Because it takes time. And that's a relationship you have to build. So, like that, I don't know that I would cheat on my significant other. Well, let's back up. I wouldn't cheat on my significant other. So, like, the way that they're structuring this is doesn't kind of follow suit. Like, I'm going to change my significant other partner before I go in because... Yeah, I guess I'm not wrapping my head around how that works. I would cheat on my significant other before I would. Well, but okay, cheating on my cell phone provider, does that mean I'm going and using another cell phone provider while still keeping, like, I'm going to go use T-Mobile for a month while still keeping Verizon Wireless? You don't. You change it. You stop using Verizon Wireless and you go over to T-Mobile, unless you have two phones, which as a cheater in a relationship, you might. So that's a possibility. But again, I don't get my haircut at the same time with two different people.
I get my hair cut. And then if I go to another person, I don't know that that's considered cheating. That's not stepping out. So do you see where I'm going with this? Like the whole point of infidelity is I'm with this thing, unit, person, whatever the case may be. And while I'm with that unit, person, whatever the case may be, I'm also dabbling over here with a different yet similar unit, person, whatever it may be. So if I'm cheating, in air quotes, on my cell phone provider, then that would mean that I'm still using my cell phone provider, but also using another. Why would I want to do that?
Because you want the best of both worlds?
No. Changing your personal trainer, changing your hairdresser, changing your real estate agent. That one I might cheat on. I might have more than one real estate agent, depending on what's going on. Like, I have people that, like, look at real estate, so I wouldn't mind having, like, two or three people be like, can you all put your feelers out? And then sign with one. So that one I might cheat on. But that's, do you see where I'm going with this? That's one out of however many on that list you said that I could be like, yeah, that might be one.
I see where you're going with it. And if you're Mary's real estate agent out there, you better watch out.
Cheating on your taxes. That's a felony, so I would hope you don't want to cheat on your taxes. I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it. So for me, it's like, meh. You're comparing apples to cars, and they're not the same.
You know who cheats on their taxes?
Donald Trump.
I didn't say that.
That was word vomit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that out loud.
That's a good answer. that's a very good answer. Actually, it's such a good answer. You know what we're going to do for that one? But I was going to say the person that cheats on their taxes is Caillou. But yeah, that's
Caillou. He also cheats on his personal trainer. So there you go.
Yes. last year, by the way, Ashley Madison had provided a look at the 20 cities across America where the most Ashley Madison accounts were based out of. I think we did that story.
Yeah, we did.
Do you remember what was number one?
Not off the top of my head. I want to say it was something that was like not where you would think.
No, it was somewhere where you think. Number one was Miami, followed by Orlando, Atlanta, Las Vegas, Tampa, Cincinnati, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. I think we were surprised at Cincinnati.
I think that was it, yeah, because that's a home of the family values.
I feel bad because there's a story the last few weeks I've been itching to talk about, and we'll probably boot it to next week, which was AI. it was AI and life insurance, and once again, it's probably going to get booted. So it's almost just like a weekly thing where we're booting the story, but because I wanted to get this other story. And forgive me how I'm going to present this one, but this is almost kind of something out of the adult conversation or the After Dark segment that we do, but bear with me as I try to get through this story, because I have a question about this one for all of you ladies out there, and I'm pretty sure this is probably going to be the topic of the night that will probably really get Twitch talking. But the topic of the conversation here, it says the crazy thing all ex-girlfriends do to their replacements. So this was from the point of view of someone, and the young lady in question said, fact, if you've dated any of my exes, I've stalked your Instagram, probably more than once. In fact, I probably follow it regularly. Not from my real Instagram account. Oh, no, I'm not that bold. Tragic. I follow you from my Finsta account, which is an abbreviation for fake Instagram. Yes, if you see someone called sir_oatmeal_fluffy_pants17393, then it's me. Peekaboo. I know all about your recent travels, what you ate at that fancy restaurant the other day, and I was even there to witness your hard launch as a couple on Instagram. I've seen it all. Usually at around midnight on a Tuesday when I'm wide awake and the mind is racing. What's crazy is that even after I've overcome the heart-wrenching feelings for my ex, I will probably still follow you. Because what was once the initial need to obtain as much information as I can about the person who has replaced me often turns into a fond interest. In fact, just last night, I was in a deep scroll of an Instagram account of a replacement girlfriend from 7 years ago. She kicked my ex to the curb a while ago, but she's a fabulous interior designer, and I genuinely love seeing her work featured on our Insta page. Truth be told, should I win the lottery, I would very much like to hire her one day. What started as pure jealousy, yes, I can admit it, has turned into admiration. From afar and behind a fake Instagram account, but an admiration nonetheless. I think he was a doofus for messing up that relationship. She had style, a hilarious sense of humor, and the things she could do with a feature wall is truly amazing. If I even lose my... she said, for horniness for men, it ended up swinging the other way. I would happily slide into her DMs. And she's not the only one. Oh, no, there's also the current fling of one of my ex-partners that I follow. How do I know she is his fling? I saw them making out in the background of another mutual friend's Instagram story, and then happened to notice that they both went to a specific place last week, same spot, same time. No hard launch yet on either of their Instagram accounts, but I've gotten the popcorn, and I'm waiting patiently. And reading this back, I sure sound crazy, but guess what? I'm not the only one. In fact, I would be so bold to say you've done it too. You've wondered what happened to your old high school boyfriend and found yourself in a late-night scroll of his wife's Instagram or perhaps Facebook account. You know, they've now got 3 children and perhaps a golden retriever. You know she works as a school teacher and they went to Canada for a family holiday last year. Don't deny it. Chatting to friends earlier this week, they all admitted to taking a cheeky sneak peek on an ex's new girlfriend's account. We're a curious species, and we love nothing more than collecting data. Whether it makes us feel better or worse, we can't help ourselves. And let's be honest, it's usually worse. When I find out my ex has a new person of interest, I wish upon all the wishes that she has 6 fingers, a crooked nose, and an ugly boil in the middle of her forehead. But spoiler alert, they never do. Dang it. So here's a public service announcement. If you're dating my ex-partner, for the love of God, can you please put your account on private? You would be doing me a solid. But in all fairness, perhaps, I need better self-control. And here's a nifty trick I learned. Write down a list of things about your ex that you didn't like. That way, when you find yourself in another deep scroll looking at their sappy romantic photos, you can slyly say to yourself, well, at least I didn't have to put up with his stinky protein shake fueled farts. Or yes, but she has to put up with his handsy grandpa at Christmas, and I no longer have to. Is it shallow and slightly wicked? Yes. But does it work? Double yes. I mean, don't share this list with the world. Just do it for yourself. But if that doesn't do the trick, here's a jolly good reason to stop stalking your ex's new partner. This study found out that when participants looked at pictures of their ex-partners, the areas of the brain that light up when one is expecting physical pain were activated. Yes, pain. You can only imagine how much worse it would be when seeing them with someone new. I could tell you, very painful. So at the end of the day, perhaps we all need to put down our damn phones. Yes, I may be talking to myself here, at least in the early days of heartbreak. No good comes from those late-night scrolls. Well, unless you're looking for a fabulous interior designer, in which case I can really recommend a fabulous one. This was from a young lady called Jana Hawking, who is a columnist and a collector of kind of boyfriends. She's at Jana, J-A-N-A underscore Hawking. My question, as I read that to you, is that true? Do you ladies go and lurk on the pages of your ex's new girlfriend just to see if life was better for them on the other side of the grass?
I'd be lying if I never did. If I said I never did it, do I do it often? No. But I have. It's been many
And when I say many, I'm talking like 20 plus years since I've done something similar. Yeah. I don't do that anymore. And well, let's back up. I'm a unique process here because my last ex was a bad breakup. So that, like, and I talk to them all the time. I don't want to know. I wish him happiness and stay over there kind of thing. But way back in the day when we didn't have as much social media, yeah, I did it a couple of times. But then I realized that it just did more damage than good, so.
I'm curious for you ladies that are listening tonight, have you deliberately gone on to your ex's girlfriend's Instagram page just to spy and see if life was better on the other side of the relationship or not?
I've got a comment that says no, so I'm going to go with, yeah, it's a 50-50 shot. I'm going to go with, like I said, it was many, 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 many moons ago. I did something similar. It wasn't Instagram. It was, you know, eyeballing, really. It was kind of creepy when I'm thinking about it. But, that was before social media. It was MySpace. Now, I've reconnected with exes, and then when reconnecting with those exes, not like, but that's the wrong word. We have chatted and become friends with exes and have met their significant others, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends in a couple of cases. So that's, you know, again, I'm just digging myself a hole. No, I don't do it right now. When I was younger, I did. But I think with age, you learn real quick to just know. They're an ex for a reason, and the reasons are varied and vast. Let them be.
All right. I don't even say as a guy, no, I don't care. they have, you know, like, if it was, like, amicable or if it was, like, I think I've only done it one time that I know of, but it was just because the person that I knew, it ended amicably. It was, you know, even afterwards, we still cared a lot for each other. And one day I was thinking about them and wondering how they were doing. And somehow, some way, because they really weren't a social media person. And I came across their page because they were now married with, like, two kids.
And
wow. I was kind of shocked. Yeah. And it was kind of shocking. It was just like, oh, you know.
Now, I've been victim to that where I started dating someone, not full-on relationship yet, and there'd been new followers and new people into, and I do set a lot of my stuff to private, where you have to request, so you see them pop in and be like, oh, hey, yeah, I know who you are, regardless of, you're a friend of this person, and I know where the line, like, I can draw the line. So I've been a victim of that, so I know it does happen. And it's kind of fun because it's like, dude, I'm barely on social media. You're not going to get much on my stuff. Have fun. You want to look around, go for it.
Like I said, it was shocking. I was happy for them. Still shocking. But when we're off the line here, I'll have to tell you someone else that recently got remarried. But yeah, I'll tell you later. But anyway, so yeah,
remarried.
But, yeah, there's a twist to it. But yeah, on to Smoking Gun Files for tonight, because I didn't promise you that. Three different stories here.
Florida Man.
Nope. All women tonight. one is a Louisiana woman who forced her way into a male neighbor's home and sought to initiate a threesome with the victim and his girlfriend, according to police.
As police alleged.
Yes, dispatched to an 11:15 p.m. harassment complaint at an apartment complex in Monroe, Louisiana, a patrolman was told by the man that upon answering a knock at his door, an unknown neighbor forced her way into the residence. The woman, the victim said, began trying to have sexual activities with him and his girlfriend, according to a probable cause affidavit. While the alleged late-night incursion, however, did not result in any three-way action, a woman did end up in handcuffs. A police canvass in the area located the female suspect in a nearby Circle K. She was identified by cops as, I know. I guess that's better. That's better than a come and go. she was identified by cops as Shadonna Rayshonette Heard. The male victim confirmed her as the suspect. She was arrested and charged with unauthorized entry of an inhabited dwelling, a felony, and several misdemeanors, including disturbing the peace, criminal damage, and resisting an officer. She is locked up in the local parish jail.
Oh, goodness. What is that movie? I was going to say Single White Female, but that's not the right one. What's that movie where the lady's like all of a sudden, Fatal Attraction. There you go. That's what that was.
One that's not so funny, but one that is a what the heck were you thinking? A Texas woman went on a cruise and left her children, an 8-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl, home alone in the family's $3,600-a-month apartment in Houston, according to police. According to a criminal complaint, neighbors of Lakeisha Woods Williams, 29, spotted her departing the luxury McKinney Apartments on April 4th, with luggage and bags, and never saw her return to the location. And where the children may have been left in the 21st floor apartment, which is a small balcony, a witness called police. Cops who visited the complex on April 9th discovered the two children in the apartment, which was in complete disarray and had trash and leftover food all over the unit and reeked of urine. The children told police that their mother had left them on April 4th to go on vacation on a cruise, and they did not know when she would return. The boy used a phone to text his mother while she was vacationing, and cops found a webcam that she allegedly was using to watch and talk to the children while she was away. The children were examined by emergency service personnel and subsequently released to the custody of their aunt. When contacted by police, Williams was uncooperative, refused to return to the residence, and was, quote, switching up her story or her whereabouts, according to the complaint and other court records. After an April 12 court hearing, a judge ordered her, who was busted on a felony child abandonment count, locked up in lieu of $25,000 bail, citing the egregious nature of his offense and witnesses' account that this is not the first time something like this has occurred. She's scheduled for arraignment on June 11th. According to a financial affidavit, she earns $6,000 monthly working full-time for a nursing service. She lived for the last year in a 1,300-square-foot apartment, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and that's just crazy. Why would you do that?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, so, yeah.
Eight? What about school?
Apparently not. They were there. I'm surprised the school didn't say anything.
Right?
It had to have been spring break.
That's even worse.
I don't know. But we go from that to probably the oddest story. An Indiana woman is facing a narcotics charge after she called 911 to report purchasing, quote, an inferior batch of methamphetamine and claimed she wanted to file charges against her drug dealer.
As alleged
in a probable cause affidavit, Sarah Harris twice made open line calls to the police emergency number, which prompted an officer to visit her residence to, quote, ensure that everyone was okay. During a conversation with a police captain, Harris declared that her meth was, quote, not what it was supposed to be. She explained that the drug left her feeling as if she was going to have a heart attack. Harris said that she had snorted a line of the meth and felt something different when it touched her skin and nostrils. She noted that she had a friend. She and a friend had smoked a bowl of normal meth before she subsequently obtained the meth
normal
and called 911. Apparently, believing that the local sheriff operated a better legal business bureau, Harris requested that the drug be tested. Harris also declared that she wanted to turn the person in who provided her the meth. While speaking with police at her home in the city of Bedford, Harris made the mistake of handing over the meth that it so vexed her. The contents of the small baggie, which carried a red pig design, later field tested positive for methamphetamine. As a result of Harris providing the narcotics evidence, a criminal information charging her with meth possession was filed last week. While the Class 6 felony carries a maximum 30-month prison term, the advisory sentence is 1 year. Her rap sheet includes convictions for theft, meth possession, criminal mischief, disorderly conduct, resisting and operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated.
Normal meth.
This ref ain't what it used to be. This ain't what it used to be. I want you to check it.
Normal meth. We had the normal stuff before it. This is not like diet. It's like Coke Zero.
Man. James said it best. Cocaine's a hell of a drug, isn't it?
Normal meth. Oh, my God. Hey. Oh, my God.
And with that, the clock on the wall is telling us that we're just not outside. We're going to ask my friend if she has any, before she gets to her shout-outs, I will tell you all, especially for those of you listening tonight, whether it is here on Blog Talk Radio or over on Twitch, I thank you all so much because, you know, I hear from time to time of, you know, the things that we do. We do this show for fun. To have you all in this ride along, I can't thank you all enough for listening. And we hope that you enjoy what we do. Tell a friend. And that we hope that you have a chance to listen to us on Friday nights here, no matter what time it is where you're at. But do you have any shout-outs this week?
One of the mermaids is having their 21st birthday next week, so happy birthday
wow.
to them. I know, like, this is just getting old. I'm getting older.
We're not getting old. They're getting old.
Oh, is that it? Got
yeah.
it. So shout out to them. So happy birthday to them. And then big hugs to a couple of people in the chat. You know, like, thank you for coming out. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being here. And it's a great way of being able to connect, even though we can't connect. Like, we keep missing connections, so it's nice to be able to at least have this. So thank you for being on Twitch.
We'll be doing more of this. We'll be doing a lot more of this. I have a lot of fun interacting and expanding with our friends who listen to us not only here, but it's refreshing to kind of be over on Twitch or on Discord or wherever we are. And one of these days, as I've told Mary, we will definitely make some things on Twitch a little bit more exclusive, where we will do part of the show here, Blog Talk Radio and throughout, and then we might extend an extra allotted time for those of you who've been so kind to join us over on Twitch. So looking forward to that. But yes, thank you all so much. Of course, you can hear this show not only here, and you can hear it on Blue Eyes Mama there on Twitch. But this show is also heard where you can get all of your podcasts, specifically on Apple, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. With that, I think we're back here next week. I don't think there's anything else going on.
I don't think so either. Question mark?
Yeah. But, no, I just want to, like I said, you have no idea. We just don't say it as lip service, but this show, you know, it's a labor of love. And like I said, I can't thank all of you enough for supporting it. So thank you so much for listening. So until next week, until next Friday night, as always, in closing, I will tell you all to take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you so much for listening. And for Mary, I'm LeVar. We'll see you next week here for another episode of Page One. Good night. Have a great week ahead. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Thanks for listening to Page One.
Page One.
Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at @NewsCommentBTR and add us as a podcast on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms where we can be found.